The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Got some messages from yesterday's Man in Line with Dr. Chris Stockport, the new medical director at Manx Care. And if you have anything to add to what was said yesterday, then by all means do get in touch. You can WhatsApp or message 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or call 6613 68. But we learnt all about pajama paralysis yesterday, and lots more as well. So we're open line today. Tomorrow, Thursday, I beg your pardon, Friday, it's going to be Chris Thomas, MHK. Former DOI Minister, former Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas, Douglas Central MHK, will be on Man in Line. So we're open line today and tomorrow, Thursday. And, just talking about messages I got yesterday. This was, I had a hernia operation yesterday. Says 038, well, it was the day before yesterday now. Would like to thank everybody at Ward 14 and Mr. Shutt and all the theatre staff. Absolutely superb all round, says 038. Well, I hope your hernia is healing and all is fine. It's the reason that nurses are hard to get, says 404, is because they're in many cases overqualified. Wouldn't there be a role for lesser qualified nurses, like the old SENs, state enrolled nurses, used to be? They were the backbone of the hospital. If you're a former SEN, maybe you want to comment on that. We're talking about recruiting young people into medicine, and the fact that nursing is now a degree job. It's a degree profession. Any thoughts on that? And dental treatment is all about money, says this correspondent. We were talking about, again, the role of NHS dentists and how difficult it is. Mr. Chris Stockport basically said that there's a lot more. Dentists now do a lot more than they used to do. If you go back 30, 40 years, having an implant was, well, very, very rare. Nowadays, it's routine. It's expensive, but it's routine. And obviously, with the introduction of the various insurance, dental insurance plans, it's opened the way for dentists to up their income. And you can't blame dentists for wanting to up their income. And a note from May. Sadly, we didn't get to this one, May, and I'm just wondering if anybody else can help with this. I think this was mentioned recently when the matrons came in. Can you ask why the triage nurse at ED can't request an X-ray? ED, emergency department, the old casualty. My husband was brought in by ambulance at 4:45 p.m. The nurse said he needed an leg X-ray, but he had to wait until 10 p.m. for a doctor to examine and request an X-ray. Fortunately, nothing was broken, but we didn't get home until 1:45 in the morning. The next day, that is. Had he been X-rayed earlier, would have been home a lot earlier. There were five others in the same position, and there was no food for 7 hours. He was very weak. I can't remember what the matron said. Maybe you can refresh my memory as to why a triage nurse can't request an X-ray. It has to go up the level of authority. Anyway, just some of the questions we didn't get to yesterday. The story about Daphne Kane, the DESC minister, who won't make the cost of the Etia report into schools public. Rob Callister, the Onken representative, basically says, well, Mr. Callister says that details should be given. Daphne Kane says details could be given in confidence to the Public Accounts Committee, but she adds for confidentiality reasons, it shouldn't be made generally more public, something which has been challenged by alum politicians in the House of Keys. So, I mean, is it necessary to know every jot and tittle, to know exactly how much everything costs? I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. Obviously, Daphne Kane is taking the DESC line that's it. They could be given in confidence to the Public Accounts Committee, but as yet, no. Let's get to the phones, and Mike's with us first of all on Man in Line. We'll get to Mike in just a few moments' time. Let's just hear what... Mike's here now. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Andy? You all right?
Very good, thanks.
I didn't hear the programme myself 2 days ago, but some of the boys have been mentioning to me that there was a bit of a thing about the taxis on here again, mainly due to the AD&N that the RTLC issued regarding parking on disabled parking bays, etc.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put the record straight a little bit. Myself and our chairman, Mr. Tia, we've been at the DOI, well, I've been at them for at least 7-8 years, and Ray has probably been at them for a lot longer than that, to give us one taxi rank in the area of Douglas where it's needed most, the only working taxi rank, which is Victoria Street. It's where the daily trade is, the shoppers. It's also where the majority of the night trade now that we have no Tahikos on the promenade, no Summerland, no Paramount City as a nightclub. All the nightlife is around there, and we've been after the DOI to give us one big taxi rank down there. We've been at them hand and fist for years and years and years.
Mike, where would that go? Which side of Victoria Street would it be, and roughly from where to where?
What we've been after, Andy, is we've got a six-car rank in Victoria Street at the minute. Behind it is the loading bay. Now, the loading bay could go anywhere. What frustrates us with the loading bay is probably about 80% of the people that actually use that loading bay just park their vans there, go into town, do their shopping, have a coffee. There's a sign on there, loading only or unloading, maximum 20 minutes. We would like that loading bay as a full-time thing. Now, ideally, where the two disabled spots are outside of Colburn's, that would be great as well if we could have that as a feeder rank onto there. We've also asked in the past if the lane, is it St. Thomas's Lane, I can't remember the name of the lane, the one that goes down between Colburn's and the old bank there.
Yeah.
We asked if we could maybe use that, have that as a feeder rank. So that's not happened for one reason or another. One problem that we have, of course, is that we have a meeting with the DOI minister, and by the next time we're due to have a meeting with the DOI minister, we've got another DOI minister. So what we've said 6 months ago or 3 months ago or 4 months ago isn't even known, because, you know, they change DOI ministers more often than most people change their underpants, you know.
So what are they not getting, Mike? I mean, do they take you seriously? Do they say there's some sort of problem? What's the sticking point?
I don't think we're important to them. I think that's one of the main issues. The taxi trade isn't important. It's important to the police. We get the back end of the police quite often. And, of course, it's in the interest of the police that the taxis move the nightlife out of Douglas on a Saturday night. You don't want people congregating for long periods of time when they've had a couple of bevvies in them. You want them moving. You want them taken home. So the police see it from our side. I don't think that we're important on the government list. You know, what you tend to get is we're understaffed, or we'll have a look into that and nothing ever happens. The fact is, Victoria Street is the only working rank in Douglas. It's the only rank that we get work off any of the taxi drivers, right? The daytime, it's the only rank that moves. Nighttime, it's where everybody congregates. The way the taxi trade has developed in the last few years, there's been a few changes in the service providers, a few new owners. There's more and more taxis that are now independent. So there's more and more taxis seeking to sit in Victoria Street. Now, people saying go and sit at the sea terminal and move into Victoria Street, that doesn't work. The government also wants a net zero policy. Do they want taxis driving around the town all day trying to rank up, or are they going to give us finally a rank that we need that suffices for the number of taxis and the number of members of the public that need taxis? That's the matter.
Okay, so just getting this straight then, you'd like the rank from where Barclays is down to just by the zebra crossing for Starbucks, is that right?
From Starbucks up the way, past Barclays, where the loading bay is now, move the loading bay, give us the two disabled spots outside of Colburn's as well as a feeder. Then on a Saturday night when there's no traffic, the rest of the rank that's feeding on can go around past the town hall. There's no issues with that, and then there's no problems. The police tolerate us. There's no problems. I've never had a policeman ask a car on a Saturday night or seen a policeman ask a car on a Saturday night to move off the disabled spots. They're generally not in use. It would solve the the issue's dead easy. Market Street, I heard that Barry, God bless him, said that we should have Market Street back as a taxi rank. We should have the spaces back that are in Market Street, but we don't need Market Street. There is nothing in Market Street to give us trade now. When Shoprite was there, it was a great rank. You could rank up there and you would get work off it.
Yeah.
And there lies the problem. Victoria Street is the only rank during the daytime that provides work for the taxi trade. That's why we need Victoria Street and more spaces in Victoria Street.
Okay, so absolutely nowhere else is any use to taxi drivers in the daytime then?
No, you go anywhere else. I mean, even if you go into Lord Street, opposite the bus station, there'll be the occasional job that will come from the bus. People won't be bothered waiting for their bus or whatever because the bus is running late and they might come and decide to get a taxi. You'll get occasional bits and bobs there, but you won't get regular work out of Lord Street. The same as Tower House, you won't get regular work there. The Villa Marina, there's occasional jobs come off that rank, but it's mainly used as a fire off rank for the radio providers for the you know, because you can go any direction from there. So if you're on with one of the Douglas providers and they send you a job, you can get to Paul Rose, you can get to Onken, you can get to Williston from there. So it's handy for them. But there's very little work generated off that rank during the daytime.
Right. And what was the option about Thomas Street, the one in between Colburn's and I think it's Black Grace Cowley, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Black Grace Cowley, that's correct. We wanted that to be used as a feeder rank. They wouldn't give us the disabled spots and wouldn't give us the loading bay. We wanted to be able to put two or three cars down into Thomas Street, which is basically what we've been doing anyway. But the boys have been getting hassled from the traffic wardens at times to move out of there. And, of course, if a car comes in behind you, then you have to move out to let the car out anyway and you have to drive around the block again, you know.
So, I mean, why do you think, I mean, if they don't, I mean, why do you think that the DOI doesn't take taxes seriously?
I've got no idea. I think we're just at the bottom of the list. They've got their own problems. They've got their own bus service to run. They've got their own roads to run. And we're just bottom of the list, I think, of priorities for them. But these things need sorting out. And, you know, and it's all right, the RTLC. I'll say this as well. I don't wish to offend anybody with the RTLC. We have, on the whole, a good working relationship with them. But it's all right, the RTLC sending out an AD&N and it being publicised in the press. But what needs to be looked for as well, and the RTLC need to be helping us do this, a solution. We need a solution. And also, just for the record, and these are just my own, I don't work Douglas anymore. My side of the Douglas business was sold a year ago, so I'm not in the town on a regular basis. But just for the record, the time that I was working Douglas, if anybody ever did come for somebody that was on the disabled spots outside of Colburn's, my experience was the drivers would move on and let the disabled person park on there. There was never an issue. We might have one or two people that wouldn't do that, but on the whole, taxi drivers would accommodate and realise they shouldn't be there and they would move on.
Yeah. Mike, if I can just ask you, what's morale like amongst taxi drivers? How are they viewing the job at the moment?
Well, it's as difficult work-wise and the financial situation at the moment is as difficult for us as anybody else. And as I've said in the past, when there's been tariff reviews and stuff, we want to provide a service for the public that is for the best of the public's interest. And that's what we want to do. Morale as regards to working with the authorities and what we get off them and the help that we get off them, that's very low. We don't seem to get an awful lot off them. And we seem to be fighting for the same things over and over again. And nothing seems to be forthcoming, and there lies the issue, and that's what we've been trying to change. We've changed some things, but it's been a very, very slow process, and we would like some movement and some help along the way.
Okay, I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks for your time. Okay, thanks.
Good to hear from you. It's 12:20 on Manx Radio. Man in Line's on till 1, and Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Nice day out there. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's a bit hazy, but it's very, very warm, isn't it, compared to how it has been.
Yeah, I think it's a bit changeable tomorrow, though, but enjoy it while we can, I guess. A follow-up to yesterday, a couple of the points that I spoke to Dr. Chris Stockport about. His opinion on vitamin D not really being noteworthy. If you remember, I rang in about 3 weeks ago and spoke to Nick Kay, your guest, who's chairman of the National Pharmacy Association, who seems to have exactly the opposite view, the same as me, that, you know, checking people's vitamin D levels and prescribing them with the right amounts to get their blood levels up is a very good idea. So just seems quite interesting that you can have two guests on with exactly 180 degree different opinion on that.
Well, opinion seems to be divided, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the studies I've got a great one here. 8 million people study across the globe indicate that 77% of humanity, or 6 billion people, have suboptimal levels of vitamin D, 20% severely depleted, which works out at 1.6 billion people, and the vast majority of them in northern latitudes like us. So I don't know, make of that what you will. My other point about the assisted dying bill, and the 1,000 NHS doctors who've signed that group letter saying that the assisted dying bill in the UK is not safe, deeply flawed, subject to coercion. There's some pretty important people that have signed on to this 1,000. You've got Sir John Byrne, a cancer researcher with decades of experience. Sir Shakil Qureshi, who's knighted for his work in paediatric cardiology. Aileen Keel, former deputy chief medical officer for Scotland. And Baroness Finlay, Professor of Palliative Medicine and member of the House of Lords. And they're all deeply worried because it's only, 9 days until the final vote goes through for this assisted dying bill in the UK. I also mentioned that the Netherlands has got a very worrying trend recently. Euthanasia of non-terminal under 30s has exploded by 60%. There's a professor of psychiatry at the Amsterdam University Medical Center, Damien Dennis, and he's saying that this recent enormous explosion is because of young people haven't fully developed yet and may not be self-aware or confident enough to give informed consent. So they're kind of easily given this as an option.
What do you think is going to happen on the Isle of Man, Julian?
I don't know. I mean, we seem to be going through to this. There's been lots and lots of concerns, but there doesn't seem to have been a lot of alterations to those bills.
Well, Chris Stockport said yesterday, didn't he? He said that the doctors should work with the government. I don't quite know what he meant by that, but he said the doctors should be talking to the government.
Well, yeah, but it's a bit late now, isn't it? I mean, it's had its all its readings and it's waiting for royal assent. I mean, yeah. It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, there might be a final vote by Tim Ward after the royal assent has been received, if that is received. It just makes you wonder. I mean, you look at Canada, for example. Some years in 2021, which was 5 years after they introduced their MAID assisted dying bill, they put in track two cases. So that's non-terminal, not reasonably foreseeable. Although there is part of that that's delayed until March 2027, which will be only for mental illness. But in 2022 to 2023, those track two cases increased by 34% just in that 22 to 23 year. That was introduced with their Bill C7, if you remember, I mentioned that some time ago. And, you know, some of these other things, I've noticed that in Ontario, I mentioned it yesterday, 428 cases of possible criminal violations, but none of them were reported to law enforcement by the head of the coroner's office, who decided not to proceed with any of them. So these three physicians decided that they should whistleblow. The other thing I noticed, the BBC reported a couple of months ago on a semi-unnamed woman called Anne, 51. Her son died. And the title of that BBC article was "Swiss Clinic Helps Grieving Mum to Die in Secret." The problem with this one was Pegasus, which is, I think it's a competitor to Dignitas. In 2023, a chap called Alistair Hamilton, 47, went there quietly and didn't tell his family, who were in uproar when they found out. So Pegasus promised never to do that again and to contact the family. Well, they did it again a couple of months ago. So, again, you've got this euthanasia thing going on where they don't, it's kind of in the shadows a bit. You know, it's, I don't know. But you've got Canada with 400.
Yeah, I mean, we'll watch and we'll see, really, because, I mean, you've heard many people on Men in Line talking about the fact that assisted dying is something that they really want to for the Isle of Man. You know, there have been relatives of people who've died who've said that, you know, the pain mitigation just wasn't working. The people were begging to be put out of their misery. So it's an extremely personal thing. And obviously the legislation is now, as you say, the framework's there. But the detail hasn't been thrashed out. I mean, we don't actually know who would do it, Julian. We don't know whether this will be a private clinic. We don't know whether Manx Care would do it. We don't know whether it will be a government-licensed organisation. You know, that's quite an important detail, you know, to know who would bluntly do the deed.
Yeah. I mean, I think the concern is the projected figure for the upcoming 2024 numbers is actually slightly under yesterday. The projection is somewhere between 17,000 and 17,600 people will be euthanized in Canada under the MAID scheme in 2024. This is, you know, they're trending it upwards. I mean, you're looking at, say, in the last 15 years in the Netherlands, there's been an 11,000% increase in uptake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. They're saying that. I could go on. Yeah, sorry.
I appreciate it. All right.
Thanks, Andy. Good. Cheers.
27 minutes past 12 on Man in Line today. This is just following on what Chris Stockport was talking about yesterday. Let me see. Why did the public pay for the building tall trees to be built to look after adults with learning difficulties to be looked after? But the management took the whole floor. There's empty government buildings all over Douglas the management could use. There'd be more room for people to use the learning disability structure if the management went elsewhere. I sympathise completely with the objections against Eerie Stain Wind Farm, but after watching a Sky programme about wind farms in Norway, I now completely back the wind farms. They're a low-impact, clean energy, environmentally free system. Sorry, this is all jumbling up. After a period of time, they come very cheap energy, says John, this is. And a note in from Dee, who tells me triage nurses need to have extra radiology training before they can formally request an x-ray themselves, as most of the more experienced nursing staff have left the ED in latter years. The newer staff haven't had the training in radiology. However, the triage nurse could go through and discuss the individual's reason for presenting to the ED with one of the ED doctors and ask the doctor request an x-ray while the person is waiting to be seen. It's simple to do. However, the newer staff sadly don't have the experience or the logic, says Dee, anymore to promote this simple process to help the flow through. So the nurse goes to the doctor and that's how it's done. I think I seem to remember that's what the matrons were saying. Well, obviously, this lady and her husband had big problems being in there till 1:45 in the morning. After listening to the debate on Victoria Street taxi rank, I have a few points to make. This is 555. Firstly, the taxis completely take over Victoria Street and often park on the loading bay, leaving delivery drivers to double park to offload their goods. Secondly, the table spaces are often used daytime by parked taxis too. The Thomas Street lane's always full of sitting taxis with their engines running, leaving toxic fumes for unlucky pedestrians. If anyone is persecuted, it's the members of the public in this area dodging the uncaring taxis and being smoked out at the same time, says that correspondent. Well, bearing in mind that taxis are a public service, and as Barry said the other day, and as Mike said, the Victoria Street rank is where all the action is, bluntly. Because everything else has disappeared from the top end of the promenade. There's no nightclubs really at that end of the promenade. Well, there's nothing really at that end of the promenade in terms of nightlife apart from the Palace Hotel and the restaurants and the casino. But they do have a small taxi rank outside there. So taxis are public transport. I mean, they're private public transport. You have to pay for them. But they are public transport. They are licensed. So, and they're obviously bothered about the fact that there's a problem and that they need somewhere to stay. bearing in mind that the one at Chester Street has gone. Assisted dying bill. The Isle of Man is nothing to do with the non-terminal cases and nothing to do with the Netherlands or Canada, says Steve. And doctors should be ashamed, says 768, if they're willing to abandon their patients on the strength of assisted dying being passed. The number requesting assisted dying will be minuscule. My brother lives in Amsterdam and he's not aware of any crisis of people being euthanized against their will. We're on Man in Line, open line today through until one.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 30 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community. And they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
Do you want to have your voice heard? The Isle of Man government wants to connect with you. Join the Chief Minister and the Council of Ministers at a roadshow event near you. Monday the 30th of June at Ramsey Grammar School. Tuesday 1st of July at Ballacameen High School, Douglas. Wednesday the 2nd at Castle Rushen High School. And Thursday the 3rd at Queen Elizabeth II High School, Peel. All events are from 5:30 until 8 and doors open at 5:15. You'll have the chance to meet ministers one-on-one, share your thoughts on national matters and take part in a Q&A session. We're listening to you. Register your free attendance at islandplan.in/roadshows.
On this evening's Spotlight, how would you like to be the island's next bard? I chat to two former bards to hear how you can apply. And if you like classical music, we have details on the June concert in the Ramsey Music Society Summer Series. Spotlight, crafted by those creative lovelies at the Isle of Man Arts Council and presented by me, H, this evening just after 5:30 and available as a podcast straight after broadcast via the Manx Radio website or your favourite podcast provider. Spotlight, bringing artistic sunshine to all who listen.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one. The cost of the Etio report's being kept confidential, says Tony, 538, because we the public would freak out on finding how much of our money's been used for what we already know. Mrs. Kane should keep an eye on the soon-to-be election. I'm sure all politicians are aware that there's an election in 16 months' time. Taxis already have the use of the loading bay after 6 p.m, says this correspondent. And the Mrs. Kane doesn't want us to know what was in the report nor what it cost. And there's another report due shortly. Is it me, says Mrs. C in Ramsey. Just what bad news is Daphne Kane trying to hide? Is it the cost or the content of the report? And a note on dentists, says 762. Dentists are like plumbers and MHKs. You never see one on a push bike. Oh, I don't know about that. Have we ever seen an MHK on a push bike? Juan's on. Hello, Juan.
Andy, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Do you have a push bike?
I don't have one here. I do have one where it's a bit warmer and sunnier.
It's warm and sunny today on the Isle of Man. You could be out on your push bike.
I could. You know what? I'm going to go for the kayak option instead. There you go. I'll do my green ticket on that. Yeah, just a few points on a few things that was brought up in the last day or so. Just on the point there before on the the Etihad report and Code Red Daphne. The point was made in Timbuktu the other day, I think by Laurie Hooper, of In the UK, there's not really an issue with revealing any information. So the precedent really should have been set by other jurisdictions revealing it. So for them not revealing it, then the question is, what are they hiding? Why the secrecy on this? And I'd also be more inclined to ask what third-party involvements are in drop-down days, and what are they teaching our children, looking at some of the revealing stuff that's coming out in the UK about what they're teaching people on arm's-length third-party drop-down days. I'd be interested to know as well what they're actually teaching our children. On your point of yesterday with your chap you had on yesterday, at the moment, we're talking about synaptics, I think, Andy, weren't you?
That was the one. I was struggling to remember. Synaptic were the Scottish company that they don't have any more any money for to bring them back.
And this is the point of like, we are at the moment, from my information, getting 20 referrals, around about 20 referrals a week going to the hospital for cataracts alone. So this is, whatever they cleared is growing very quickly. That's like 100 a month, Andy, that is accruing.
Well, apparently, by the time they'd finished, they'd just about cleared the waiting list for cataracts, I think.
They did, but it's like painting the fourth bridge. Once you stop, you've got to start again.
Yeah.
And I know that they're getting 20 referrals a week. This is factual. And they're way behind in getting the letters out because they haven't got the administration staff to do it. So the question has to be asked on you know, where we can afford synaptics. Again, we've got companies here advertising medical and dental treatment for people coming to live on the island. Is there going to be a problem then for the local people who have put money into the system for years to actually get on these lists? Are they going to be second best, offering people positions to come here and work?
Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know. But, I mean, the fact is that, I mean, regarding things like dentists, I mean, either there is an NHS list or there isn't an NHS list. And the fact is that many people struggle with finding an NHS dentist.
Indeed so. Two other points. One point on your person that was on before about wind farms, and just briefly, the UK's government strategy for tackling climate change received a major blow in May when the Danish developer Ørsted announced that adverse economic developments have halted its 2.4 gigawatt Hornsea 4 wind farm in North Sea. And again, the question has to be asked, as Julian has mentioned before, we've got a company now who's on its uppers, and its share prices are so down. Are we going to go in bed with a company, beside all the other stuff about the visual impact and everything else? Are we going to go in bed with a company that's so far down the tubes?
Well, it's hardly on its uppers. I mean, the fact is, Ørsted's a resilient company, and the fact is, it's had a bit of a downturn. It's hardly down to its last 15 shillings.
How far do you go down, though, Andy? I mean, we're on a downturn now, and it's a very big downturn. How long can just pure business, how long can a company keep taking hits before it's seriously damaged? It's all right saying it's going down, it's gone down dramatically, and is it going to go up again? If it doesn't, then you've got a serious problem business-wise.
Mm.
And as we're counting the pennies and shillings at the moment, an announcement from government about selling off the Westmoreland Road Village and the new nursing home site.
Yeah.
And again, I have to ask the question there, the overspend. I was at the meetings when Dane Harrop done the presentation, and a lot of questions came from the floor from businessmen who live here, very, very wealthy businessmen who live here, about the complete overspend and how much you would have to charge per apartment, rental or sale,
yeah,
to get that money back. So if they're going to put this on the market to try and sell it, I don't know what clever businessman in his mind would pay any kind of money that the government has paid out of taxpayers' money to do this. because it was overspent on to start with. So again, we've got an issue there about people in accountancy not spending our money wisely. And if we keep doing this, we might be in the same stage as Ørsted, Andy.
Okay. All right, June. Thanks for calling today.
Take care, Andy.
Cheers. Now it's 20 to 1. And by the way, if anybody from Ørsted wants to come on to Manx Radio, come on to Man in Line, they're more than welcome to talk about Ørsted, to talk about our potential offshore wind farm on the east coast of the Isle of Man, as everybody is. If you ever think that you've been misrepresented by anybody, then the right of reply is always there. You just pick up the phone and you can come on the air. And that goes for anything and anybody. And Peter's on now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here. Just want to follow on from Julian. I must congratulate him on the depth of his research. He has been a great asset to this island in researching on many things, and I think he's been congratulated on his research with regard to the assisted suicide, because I'm going to use correct terminology, that's gone on in other countries, and to warn us as to what's going to happen here. But I just want to say something about the ultimate safeguard in all this, and that is the monarch. I'd just like to make mention of something that probably most people are unaware of. In Europe, two monarchs have used their powers with regard to the royal assent, where you've had legislation which quite clearly is contrary to the word of God. In Luxembourg, in 2007, I think it was, they had legislation not dissimilar from this appalling bill that went through the Keys, in the face, of course, of public opposition, which was tested by a public opinion survey, consultation, and they lost the consultation. Now, what happened in Luxembourg, the Grand Duke Len, L-L-E-N, I think it's spelt, refused the royal assent to a bill which was to do with killing people. Whether it was euthanasia or assisted suicide, it doesn't matter, because in both cases it was contrary to the word of God. He didn't lose his throne. I'm not sure whether he's still Grand Duke or who the current head of state is in Luxembourg, but I do know, I think the outcome was that the head of state no longer gives the royal assent. I think that's how it was dealt with. But he didn't lose his throne or his position. Now you come to Belgium. The late King Baudouin acted in the same way, or a very similar way. There was an abortion bill, probably not as bad as the dreadful bill that went through the Keys back in 2018. And he indicated to the government that if the bill was to come before him, the royal assent would be refused. Belgium has a distinct constitution whereby they can declare the monarch unfit to rule. And the way they got round it was because they could see that quite clearly King Baudouin was not going to give the royal assent, they declared him for one day unfit to rule, and then they used a process, whatever process their constitution has provisions for, whereby the assent was effectively given by whom I know not. And then the following day they declared King Baudouin fit to rule again. So he effectively refused the royal assent and compelled them to use some constitutional device to get round it. Now we look on the monarch in Britain, and I'm not one of those who seems to spoil journeys alike when King Charles is going around saying how they're opposed to the monarchy, those awful killjoys who spoil other people's enjoyment by making a point that everybody's aware of already of what they think. But I do think that the monarchy has a part to play. If we maintain a monarchy, and we do, and it's costly to do so, I think it is important that the monarch should be regarded as having the ability to carry out that which Parliament has wanted him to carry out by the Coronation Oath Act, where it's ever so clear that Parliament wants him to the utmost of his power to maintain the laws of God, and there's a golden opportunity to do so. I'm hoping that he will do so, because that is his ultimate function, to defend us against any incursion against the word of God, and it's Parliament's will as well. And so I'm hoping, there seems to be some confusion whether the Royal Assent has been granted yet. I don't think it has, and I'm hoping that what's going on in Britain might cause the British government to intervene. Now, they can do it in a very diplomatic manner. They don't actually have to present the bill to the monarch. They can quite easily send the bill back. And there's a precedent for that, because it happened in the 1960s over the wireless telegraphy bill, which you may be aware of, which was to do with Railway Caroline, and it was to do with really trying to put it on a legal footing.
Oh, the bill got sent back. That was the Marine Offences Act.
Yes, well, whatever the bill, but they, in actual fact, it was sent back, and I remember reading... Yeah. I read the newspaper report in the Manx Museum of the day when they got it back, and everybody was very cross that they'd sent the bill back, though they were warned that it could get sent back. Now, they have this power to do that. They can intervene in certain circumstances, and they can intervene on the grounds of good governance. Now, we've had some bad governance, because we're going to face a 2% levy to try and balance the books with regard to the hospital, and yet we have a bill where they do not know how much more it's going to cost to implement this assisted suicide bill. Yeah. Now, if that isn't bad government, I don't know what is. I mean, at least in Britain, they did have an assessment before they even went any further. But here, we still don't know. And yet, why should we have to pay 2% levy to shore up the finances of the hospital when we've got a situation where they're quite prepared to pass legislation, the consequences of which they do not know what they will be, except that they'll put the cost of maintaining the health service up. So for all those reasons, there's very good reason for the bill to be sent back, for the monarch either to refuse the royal assent or for it to be recognised that this breaches his coronation oath, and the bill should not therefore be presented to him in the first place. If it is, I just hope that he will refuse it.
Okay, all right, Peter, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
12 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Why can't taxis be permitted to use the Prom Walkway as a taxi rank close to shops and to the pubs as well? You'd have to find some spaces. And remember, they took 65-odd spaces from one end of the Prom to the other. And certainly at the bottom end of the Prom, the sea terminal end of Loch Prom, spaces are very, very tight there. So quite where you'd put a taxi rank there. And certainly it's been a policy really to move everything down towards the quays. And I suppose Victoria Street is halfway between Strand Street and the Quays. And the issue with taxi drivers, says NT, is simply a microcosm of the problems that exist throughout the Isle of Man government. Any interested parties are ignored while Tynwald cracks on with their own separate agendas. The electorate of the Isle of Man's being ignored in every form by all tiers of government. I'm disabled, says Glenda. I strongly disagree with the taxi driver that they should be given the disabled spaces outside Colburn's. I find there's not enough disabled spaces as it is, and asking other vehicles to move simply isn't an option for many disabled people. That's not the idea at all. And Dick says, Andy, there are 395,000 doctors registered in the UK, and the 1,000 that are against assisted dying represent 0.25%. A quarter of a percent. So don't claim that doctors are against assisted dying, which they clearly are not.
Enjoy uncompromised relaxation at great prices in Millichap's stressless studio clearance event. Come and see the clearance prices for yourself and find out which of Stressless's range of recliner chairs is right for you. The Stressless Studio Clearance Event, now on downstairs at Millichaps of Ramsey.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Quadlock is the strongest and most secure mounting system in the world for integrating your phone, camera or accessories into your outdoor pursuits and for your car, van or motorhome. See the Quadlock display at H&H Motorcycles in South Quay, Douglas.
For a fun-filled day of nautical chaos,
airborne ingenuity
and courageous competition,
it can only be the 54th annual World Tin Bath Races.
On Saturday the 14th of June in Castletown, Middle Harbour, watch teams splash it out in the snake racing.
Fall with style at the man-powered flying.
And paddle to glory in a traditional tin bath.
Boats close at 12 noon, ready for all the fun to begin at 1:30.
And tickets cost just £3 for adults and £1 for kids.
The 54th World Tin Bath Championships, supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
To celebrate Father's Day on Sunday, this weekend on Manx Radio, we're giving you the chance to win with Tinwald Mills. Up for grabs, we have a £50 gift voucher and lunch for two at the Neb Cafe. To win, listen out right across the weekend for our special dad-themed question. As soon as you hear it, text your answer to 166177 and make sure you're listening on Monday afternoon to find out if you're the lucky winner. Tinwald Mills is the perfect destination for gifts, with everything from stylish furnishings and clothing to home homeware, dog grooming and a cosy cafe. Celebrate Father's Day this weekend with Tinwald Mills and Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Got to say hi to everybody on board the Corinthian. It's the Grand Circle Travel cruise line, which is at the moment tied up by the Victoria Pier. Just 100, it's a small cruise ship, 100 passengers on board. So hi to all the passengers, the captain and the crew. And just a quick note about Port Erin. You may have heard the Port Erin Commissioner's chairman says that joining the board is worthwhile and decisions made have an impact on the community. Port Erin's one of five local authorities looking to fill vacant seats left following April's elections. Hannah McKenzie was on Manx Radio earlier on today. I just want to remind you, if you're in and around, and basically what she was saying was, don't complain, become a commissioner. So nomination papers for Port Erin commissioners, as well as Balaff Jerby, Douglas Central Ward and Ramsey Commissioners South Ward, can be collected from each of the local authorities, and they can be handed in from 10 o'clock today, this morning, but must be submitted by 18th of June. That's a week today. That's for Port Erin commissioners, Balaff Jerby, Douglas Council Central Ward and Ramsey Commissioners South Ward. You can get them from the commissioners. Just regarding the taxis, Isle of Man government isn't going to respond to the taxi driver who was on earlier. DfE, this is Gary, says that DfE, Department for Enterprise, and Douglas City Council are permitting Douglas City Centre to decline. And the chap said there's little nightlife left. The local economy strategy and associated roadshows in April have not yet made a difference to the high street. DOI wants everyone to use a bus or to walk. Treasury is making people poorer, so a taxi is a luxury for most people. Well, if you've got any thoughts on that, I'd like to hear. Because taxis are, for many people, an essential. Many people live in places that public transport doesn't go to. So, you know, let's not have anything about, you know, taxi drivers are running dogs of capitalism. They work hard, often in difficult circumstances, all hours of the day, and they have a right to earn a living. And they also have a right to pick up passengers. And if somebody's standing in their way, then surely they're right to state their case. Again, this cost of the Etia report is something that many people are referring to. And we'll come to that later. There's an open line tomorrow. Remember, Friday is Chris Thomas, MHK, will be, and Chris has normally got plenty to say. Of course, he's formerly DOI minister, so obviously we'll be chatting to him about how he sees the DOI handling things at the moment and other things as well. Certainly transport is something that I know Chris Thomas has got a lot to say about. When will people accept, says James 917, that assisted dying is a mercy? Its opponents, I think, are selfish to object to people having help available when it's needed at the worst of times. It is an extremely personal matter, and obviously we get many opinions on Man in Line about assisted dying and the legislation that's been passed. But I'll just say again, importantly, at the moment, nobody knows. Nobody knows who would provide the service. Would it be a government-sanctioned organisation? Would it be Manx Care? Would it be another organisation licensed by the government? Or would it be a private arrangement? It's a bit like the 20 miles per hour speed limit. Stay with me. If you're not going to enforce it, then what's the point of having it? And if we don't know who's going to provide the service for assisted dying, then what's the point in having the law? If you're standing in Port Erin, or you aim to, in Balaff, Jerby, Douglas and Ramsey, I wish you well. The papers are available today. Go and see your local commissioners and ask them all about it. That's it. Back with another Open Line tomorrow. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. W-I-N-T.